Good morning, my friends, and welcome to a slightly later than usual episode of Morning Reload. From high above all other pedantic and puerile forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Sorry for the delay, my friends. I had an appointment that couldn't be avoided or rescheduled. But never fear, I'm fully prepared for this morning's installment. And we begin with the Pravda on the Platte. Casper Star Tribune. Obviously, this is an election year. Every seat in the House of Representatives is up for grabs, and half the Senate. There's no shortage of political stories that could be written in our fair state. In fact, we're going to cover one of them in just a few moments. But not the Casper Star Tribune. No, no. The paper of record in the state of Wyoming has decided to cover something else entirely above the fold on its front page. In an article entitled, National Facial Hair Competition Coming to Casper in November, written by Mary Stuhr, and I quote, On November 20th, Casper will welcome facial hair aficionados from around the country for the National Beard and Mustache Championships. The event, taking place at the Ford Wyoming Center, is a collaboration between facial hair enthusiasts group Beard Team USA and Visit Casper, Natrona County's Travel and Tourism Council. It's expected to draw 300 contestants who will compete across 47 categories, according to Visit Casper. That includes categories for both natural and styled mustaches and beards. Are you kidding me? Now, you might say that maybe the Red Star is trying to take a break from all of the politics of this summer and maybe publish some more human interest stories, but let me read you some of the other titles, and I quote, UW researchers discovered rare snail in Wyoming's snowy range, and Big Poppy leads Baseball Hall of Fame class and Joni Mitchell shines at Newport. Well, let me tell you what they're really up to. They're trying to direct your attention away from the crushing defeat that awaits Crickets Cheney on August 16th. Nothing to see here. You focus on the snail with the mustache. Next thing you know, they'll be publishing cute cat videos on their website. Don't quote me on that one. But honestly, my friends, all of it is just distraction. Because they don't want you to focus on the political reality that is right in front of your face. That Wyoming citizens are fed up with Crickets Cheney, and we're about to give her the old Wyoming send-off. You know, a one-way ticket to anywhere but here. Enough of that drivel. In a few moments, we're going to visit with Roger Kinnett, who is running for Senate District 1 up in Crook, Weston, and Campbell counties. Before we get to that, though, let's pay some bills. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a roping arena or a gigantic warehouse, well, then you need to call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. 307-674-2532. They're the experts in metal building construction, and they've been doing it longer than anybody else around. So, if you got a metal building to build, give Nick and Jesse a call. 307-674-2532. This morning's program is also brought to you by the Wing It Food Truck. Today, they'll be in Cody, Wyoming. Tomorrow, August 2nd, from 11 to 2, they'll be in Grable, and then from 4 to 9, back in Cody. On Wednesday, they'll be in Thermopolis, Wyoming, at the Hot Springs County Fairgrounds. Thursday, they'll be in Lovell from 11 to 2, and in Powell from 4 to 7. And then on Friday, they'll be in Lander from 11 to 2, and Riverton from 4 to 7. Also, today, they're in Jackson. Tomorrow, in North Logan, Utah. Wednesday, in Tremonton, Utah. And Thursday, Rock Springs. And on Friday, Green River, Wyoming, at Flaming Gorge Harley-Davidson. Before we get to the interview with Roger Kinnett, I want to give you a taste of some audio I recorded Saturday night in Gillette, Wyoming. It was an event that was put on by Jacob Dalby, who is running for the Campbell County Commission. It featured Anthony Bouchard, Bill Fortner, Larry Williamson, and some other Campbell County candidates. Bill Fortner is running for the same Senate seat as Roger Kinnett, Senate District 1. Here's an excerpt from what he had to say about our SAPA law and then we'll talk about it. Now, the audio isn't that great because it was a pretty noisy room, and Bill Fortner tends to mumble a lot. So, listen close.
Senate File 102 has four mechanisms in it, two state statutes, totally trash. Our law enforcement, when they don't work for the federal government. One of the law enforcement, the other is our right to carry law. They've got two statutes in place that work against that South bill that they passed. Well, it works in favor of that South bill that passed to weaken our constitutional rights. We was warned by the 10th Amendment, by Patriot groups, and we was warned by several other constitutional groups not to sign that bill. That bill had nothing in it. We already had all the stops that we needed. Already the federal constitution and the Wyoming constitution. So anyways, this bill, it didn't have in it, it still has qualified immunity in it, by the way, which would allow a police officer to shoot somebody in the back. It's got down in the middle. Shot a guy three times in the back, got off with it, no punishment for the officer. The bill still has in it, they can seize your constitutional right temporarily.
Stop. I can't take any more of that. Just about everything you heard in that soundbite is not true. Now, we're going to have a larger discussion about that whole event that I recorded last Saturday on Wednesday's program, but I just wanted you to get an idea of who it is that Roger Kinnett is running against. We can have political disagreements about just about anything, but we should never mislead Wyoming citizens. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion. But they are not entitled to their own facts. So anyhow, that'll be on Wednesday's program. A few days ago, I had a chance to visit with Roger Kinnett, who is running for the Wyoming State Senate in District 1. The incumbent in that race is Senator Ogden Driscoll, and as I mentioned, Representative Bill Fortner is also running for that Senate seat. Here's my discussion with Roger Kinnett. Joining me via Zoom is Roger Kinnett. Roger is running for Senate District 1 up around Crook County, Campbell County, and over in that neck of the woods. Roger, welcome to Cowboy State Politics.
David, how are you this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. Been a little busy, but everything's moving along.
Good.
First question, Roger. Why don't you just go ahead and tell us about yourself? Who is Roger Kinnett?
Well, I moved to Northeast Wyoming from Riverton, Wyoming, of course, in 1979, and I went to work in the coal mines there. I worked in the uranium mines down east of Riverton. I have over 40 years of mining experience. I worked at various levels and management, and even I was an equipment operator initially, and ultimately was a mine manager. Kind of switched gears with my career and went to work for a mining equipment company as a Western Regional Manager in Gillette. And then after a short time, they made me their Customer Support Manager for the U.S. and Mexico. As far as career-wise, I've been around a little bit. After I left the mining business, I actually worked for a John Deere dealer and sold equipment. So I worked with lots of ranchers and got to know some of the problems that they have and that they're faced with, and tough times for everybody right now, but especially tough for those folks. I'm married. I have four daughters and nine grandchildren.
Wow. Big family.
Well, they're, you know, it's not real big, but it's getting bigger. It seems all the time. Most of us are here in northeastern Wyoming. Some of the grandkids have moved out of state, and I have one of our daughters lives in Colorado, and one granddaughter down there. But for the most part, they're in this area, which is fortunate for us.
All right, so the obvious question, Roger, is, sounds like you're kind of a busy guy. What in the devil are you thinking running for the Senate?
Well, David, you know, I've been involved with the Republican Party for a long time. I've been the county chairman most of the time since 2015 here in Cook County until I announced and then I resigned. I also was on the Wyoming State Republican Party Executive Committee. And, you know, I've been involved with what's been going on and for quite a while, and I'm really disappointed in what I see out of our legislature. You know, if we are a very red state, very conservative, but if people on the outside looking in were to judge Wyoming by our legislature, they would call us a very deep purple state at best. And that's bothered me for a long time. And I think that it's time that, and I think this movement's going on all over the state where people have finally said, you know, we've had enough of this and we're going to put conservatives back in our legislature and kind of let those who are more interested in a national social justice agenda go home. So that was kind of the driving force. And I decided, you know, I've talked about it long enough. I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to get in there and I'm going to represent the values of the Wyoming people, specifically the Northeast Wyoming people.
Well, you're not kidding about the legislature being purple. You know, it speaks volumes that we can't get a bill passed that covers, you know, vaccine mandates or mask mandates or even the transgender sports bill. That one, while I wasn't surprised that they didn't want to talk about it, you would think something like that would be kind of a no-brainer. You know, even redcoats have to get reelected, you know, so you would think that they would vote for that, but they didn't. So up in your corner of the state, what are some of the big issues that you see affecting Wyoming citizens, you know, in Senate District 1?
Well, and you just mentioned a few of them. And just to pick up a little bit on the fairness and sports bill that couldn't make it through our legislature. It just, to me, is unbelievable. This is Wyoming, and our values statewide are different than that. There is no way that it is okay for a boy, for example, to compete in women's sports. It's just not right, and it's not okay. So other things that, you know, really are important to me, I think, is property taxes. I've been out and about, talked to a lot of people, and as well as my own disappointment when I saw my tax bill this year, which has steadily gone up. But our property taxes, you know, are based on fair market value, which is figured by our county assessors after they look at the homes and or in places that have sold around us, and then they add a new value to our house. Well, we're being taxed, you know, on unrealized income. And if you want to realize that income, you got to sell your house. And most of us don't want to do that.
Well, where would you go if you did? You can't afford to buy anything.
Exactly. And, you know, I think there are, that's one of the, got to be one of the priorities in the next legislature is to take a look at that. And, you know, I've been saying we need to look at, we need to be assessed on our acquisition costs with reasonable escalators in there, but I want to emphasize the word reasonable. And, you know, those who want to come here from wherever they're coming from to escape what they've got back there, can pay those higher taxes based on the prices they're willing to pay for these places. So I really believe that property taxes is something that's got to be looked at early on in the next session.
Now, you have two opponents. There's Ogden Driscoll, who is the incumbent, and also Bill Fortner. What makes you different than the two guys you're running against?
Well, I could take the rest of the interview to do that, but you know, I think basically speaking to myself and myself, I truly am committed to representing the desires of the people and not just one or two groups. And, you know, I have no desire to go to Cheyenne and be part of a gang or a group or a cabal or whatever they have down there. It seems like a little bit of everything. The lobbyists that are most important to me, and I've said this in some of our meetings when I was actually called out on this, because I said, I'm not going down there to join one of the many parties, and I mean many parties that happen every night in Cheyenne, sponsored by lobbyists. I said, I'm going to spend my evenings studying bills and answering as many emails and phone calls as I possibly can, because the only lobbyists that I care about are the lobbyists in my district who voted me in and what they care about and what their values are. And I had one of my opponents say in one of our forums that I've made a lot of friends at those parties, met a lot of good people. And I said, actually what you meant was people that are paid to be there and to influence you, that's who's there.
Yeah.
So I have a completely different attitude about what I represent and who I'm going to represent. And I'm pretty firm on what my commitment is. So I think that, you know, it's one of those things that people can look at all of us, determine what our priorities are and who more importantly, who our priorities are.
Well, among the many things that Ogden Driscoll and I disagree on, top of the list is how he handled the special session. And, you know, there were like failures all over the place, you know, with the special session. But for me, one of the bills that, man, it just fried me, is the one to allow Wyoming citizens to buy hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin here in Wyoming and, you know, not have to go across state lines to get it. You know, and your opponent voted against that. Talk to me about that.
Well, I think that when you talk about the special session, you know, there are many disappointments. You know, the first disappointment is the fact that none of the old guard legislatures down there even wanted to have it. They resisted it as long as they could. And they went there with the thought in mind that they weren't going to do anything. And with that thought in mind, they were very successful because they didn't do anything and they didn't let anything happen. And I think the bill you're talking about is one of the many failures of that special session and certainly one of the biggest. And I think that everyone should have had the opportunity to have whatever medications they felt was best for them. And that opportunity wasn't allowed. And I think that the mandates that we saw statewide and the fact that we couldn't take a stand and say, this is not okay, and push back against these federal mandates. And there's many federal things we should push back against, but you know, our leadership in the legislature and our governor, who, you know, now they all want to say, yeah, we really are against mandates. But I think they proved to us last fall that they really were not, and they were more interested in their own legislative priorities and issues than they were the people of Wyoming.
I think you're exactly right. And honestly, Roger, a lot of them took money from pharmaceutical companies right before the special session. And I mean, if that doesn't tell you everything that you need to know, I mean, I don't know what would. You know, every single person that voted against the special session had a donation from either Pfizer, the Wyoming Medical PAC, or the Wyoming Education Association. And, you know, I mean, it's like 1 + 1 = 2. It's pretty easy for Wyoming citizens to put that together. So let's talk about your other opponent for a minute. Where do you stand on strengthening Wyoming protections on our Second Amendment rights?
I've spoken to that. And I mean, when you're running for an office, I found out that everybody in the free world wants to send you a survey. And they come from everywhere, a lot from Wyoming, a lot from back east. And And you get lots of different kinds of questions. And one of the surveys was adamant about my stance on overturning our current VAPA bill, which is our Second Amendment Protection Act bill that was passed. And I think that if there are ways to strengthen that bill, I certainly would be in favor of amendments to do that. But to throw that bill out, I think, is just nuts. I think we have a bill, and that bill should protect us against these new red flag laws that they have passed, our U.S. Congress has passed with the help of some of the Republicans who, I guess you would say, call them turncoats, right, David? That's your
redcoats.
Redcoats. Well, redcoats, turncoats, both apply. And I think we have a bill that's going to help us protect that. And if that bill can be strengthened through amendments, I certainly will be on board and want to participate in that. No way would I ever say we need to throw that bill out, which is something I hear a lot. That's just nuts. We have a bill, and we should be happy that we have one.
Well, and the truth of the matter is, Roger, that the more I study that bill, it has far more implications than I think any of us were aware of at the time. And one of those is it specifically prohibits law enforcement agencies from accepting money to enforce federal mandates that infringe on the Second Amendment. I mean, that's right there in the bill. And so all of this talk about it being worthless and toothless, well, worthless, it's not. The other thing that it does is it prevents any government employee from infringing on your Second Amendment rights. So that doesn't just include law enforcement officers. That includes a secretary or a bureaucrat or anybody that's involved in government from infringing on your Second Amendment rights. Repealing it is an insane idea, because right now that law is the only thing standing in between red flag gun laws and Wyoming citizens. And that's the truth.
You're exactly right. And the other thing in that bill, it actually doubled the penalties that existed previously. So I think that my belief is there are a lot of teeth in that bill. And it's actually written the way I think bills should be written. It's a little less than 2 pages. And I think the more that those who write these bills add pages, the more that is, that's more of a confusion factor, and I don't believe that's unintentional.
Well, when you add pages to a bill, you know what also you add? The possibility for loopholes. You know, the more complicated you try to make things, the easier it is to, the more you overtick the plumbing, the easier it is to stop up the drain.
Exactly.
What else do you think that we need to do? What else would you do when you get to Cheyenne? I mean, are there some other bills that you'd like to work on, or did we pretty much cover them?
No, I can talk to a few more. But while we're talking about bills, David, I think, I'm hearing that there's going to be a minimum of 400 bills in this legislature coming up, and possibly all the way up to 600. Where the heck are these things coming from? I mean, that answer's easy. Lobbyists and pork barrel projects and that sort of thing. I believe that the legislature really needs to take some action and limit the amount of bills that can be presented during a session. That's probably going to be an unpopular thing to say, but it's just we don't need a lot more new laws. We need to enforce the ones we've got, and we need to simplify everything in our lives, starting with those types of things. So that's my rant today on too many bills. But it's crazy the amount of bills that go down there, and then you have legislators say, geez, I don't have time to study all these bills and know what's in them. We need quality rather than quantity. And I think we need to really address the concerns of the people of Wyoming. You know, lobbyists, they can be on their own.
You know, you bring up an excellent point that And actually, the number of bills that we saw in the general session was closer to 600. And you got to think, you know, you have a very compressed amount of time to get any work done, and you throw 600 bills at anybody. I mean, how are you to know what the implications of all of those bills are? And the other side of that is we pass 600 laws every year, but how many of them do we repeal? Virtually none. You know, I can't remember the last time that I even heard of the idea of, hey, maybe we should eliminate a tax. No, we have to continue spending. I mean, it's just backwards.
Well, and I agree completely. And one of the things that I've said, we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. And granted, our coal and oil and gas and those kind of anything related to energy that the Biden administration is currently attacking and have a war on is taking a hit. And that's been a huge part of what our revenue and where our revenue comes from. And I think that, you know, my background in business is I have an extensive amount of budget development and budget management experience. And the other thing that I think is important is common sense. And I think that the people of Wyoming have a lot of common sense. And one reason why everyone's fed up with what we see coming out of our legislature. And I hear already there's talk of taxes. We're going to have to do something, because the only thing that saved us from having a wreck this year was all the Biden bucks that was sent to Wyoming, the money that was printed.
ARPA funds.
Right. That added to our inflation issues and woes and one thing and another. And they couldn't wait to spend that money. And they brag about the fact that our budget is $400 million less than it was in 2013. But interestingly enough and coincidentally, they forget to talk about the fact that they deposited more than that into the general fund from the Biden bucks.
Exactly.
To me, that's anybody that can say our budget is less is using new math.
Absolutely, they are. You know, and it's the favorite trick of politicians to say, oh, we cut the budget. Well, no, what you did is you cut the increase to the budget. So you're just not spending as much over and above what you did last year. Well, Roger, I appreciate you taking the time to visit with me this morning. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Well, I have a website, is rogerconnett.com. My email address, rconnett, C-O-N-N-E-T-T, at rangeweb.net. And my phone number is 307-260-3107. And I always enjoy hearing what people's concerns are and what they have to say, even when they don't agree with me. I think it's important to know what people think.
I couldn't agree more. Roger, again, thank you for coming on Cowboy State Politics. And I'll be watching your race with interest. And you just let me know if anything happens.
I will do that. Thank you, David.
You're welcome, Roger. Have a good day.
You too.
That'll do it for this installment of Morning Reload. Have a good week, and we'll talk again on Wednesday, where I'll tell you about that event that I recorded last Saturday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.